Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. As for Football's Army Football Show is brought to you by Emblem Athletic. Sign up at emblemathletic.com and be a gear hero for your unit today.
Hello and welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show. This is your host for the episode, James from Brigade Review. Yes, you heard that right. Jordan is still unpacking at his new house. I am joined by Dan from Coastal Carolina. Dan, how are you?
I'm good. I am definitely in Coastal Connecticut, however, not in Coastal Carolina. You guys will think I moved in next to Ric Flair.
Well, would that be the worst thing in the world?
No, it'd be awesome, actually.
And Rob is not with us today, so it's just going to be Dan and I, and we're going to bring you through the middle four games of schedule. But first, a word from Dan about our sponsor, Emblem Athletic. Dan?
So, as you guys know, this show is sponsored by Emblem Athletic. Emblem is the source for all of your custom sporting goods needs. They can trick out your unit today, whether that unit is a military unit, a police unit, a fire unit, or just your flag football team, even your kids' flag football team. We know that we've got a bunch of newly commissioned second lieutenants running around out in the Army about to report to their first units. I'm going to promise you something, men, ladies. The first thing that's going to happen when you get to your new unit is that they're going to tell you to make new company t-shirts. Does not have to be hard. Just go to emblemathletic.com. Their artists will work with you, set up a company store. There's nothing for you to buy. There's no inventory. You just send out the web link, then, and the guys in your unit and the ladies in your unit can order t-shirts. Super easy. We did our own 2021 season t-shirts this way, had them up in a couple of hours. Look good, play good, feel good. Emblem Athletic can help. James, man, how soon are you going to be selling some Emblem Athletic shirts to your Fly Navy counterparts out there? That's what I want to know.
Pretty soon. We'll have to see. I'm still learning to fly, but as soon as I get to my my longtime unit, I hope we'll be selling Emblem Athletic gear. I'll tell you that much. They're great t-shirts.
I guarantee that that's the first thing that's going to happen when you walk in the door before you even unpack your bags. Get us new t-shirts. Guaranteed.
Well, I'll know who to go to when that happens. We'll head over to Emblem Athletic.
All right.
So, go ahead. Summer news. We got a little bit going on in the last few weeks since our last episode. So the first scrimmage happened last weekend. Tyre Tyler got the ball first. We don't necessarily know if that means that he'll be our starter for the regular season, but not surprising to see the guy with a good amount of starts out there getting snaps from the beginning. Jamel Jones started getting snaps second. Dan, you want to take us to the next part?
Yeah, what's weird about this is that they actually scrimmaged with the ones against the ones, which Army really doesn't usually do because they usually have the Army offense working Army offense stuff and Army defense working Army defense stuff, which, you know, especially the defense doesn't see the triple option like all that much. So they don't tend to scrimmage against the triple option all that much. They tend to try to scrimmage against teams that are against the scout team, you know, simulating things that regular colleges do. But this was more like the ones against the ones. And what's really interesting is that the starting offense scored on several of their first drives. We saw touchdown passes, long run from fullback Anthony Adkins. You know, a lot of times at this part of the season, you'll see the college offenses ahead of the defenses, especially because, you know, the offense has kind of got the momentum and the defense, everybody's still sort of putting in the playbook. The last time I think we saw Army's offense ahead of their defense, though, at this time of the year might have been back when Ahmad Bradshaw was the quarterback. It's been quite some time. So you get the sense that this offense might actually be better than we've seen them be in a little while. I would not be surprised if, say, Anthony Adkins has a huge year alongside the wrecking ball, Jacoby Buchanan. I think we're also going to see a good bit of Jamel Jones under center. He's the biggest of the quarterbacks, got a good arm. That dude could really earn a lot of playing time. So I'm excited to see what this offense can do. And I feel like we know that the defense is a known quantity and will be successful. But hearing that the offense looked good in that first scrimmage, like, it's been a while since we heard that at this time in the year.
Well, and it's good to see, because this is one of the reasons that the option's peculiar, right? So most offenses and offensive schemes, the you know, everything flows well when each person knows their individual assignment, right? So I'm going to cut this way on my route. Quarterback is looking for, you know, this look first, and then he's going to his second look, and then he's going to his third look. And if everyone knows what their individual job is, it flows smoothly. That's why we typically see offenses ahead of defenses at this time of the year. Whereas defenses, it's a lot of communication with each other pre-snap, recognizing what movements mean and what's going to happen. And that takes a lot of teamwork and gelling. And so early in the year, you don't really see that. But with the option, all of that gelling that happens also happens on offense. So to see that happening so early in the year is super refreshing, especially coming off of a year where they basically got no training camp with COVID. And we saw a super constipated option offense for most of 2020. So not that it wasn't effective, but it wasn't pretty. It's super refreshing to see a triple option offense gelling like this, you know, in August.
You know, we also saw a good number of throws out to the slot backs over the weekend, you know, and in general, I'm starting to think that we might see that more this coming year. You know, we had Coach Drinkall on. He talked about how there's really not that much difference schematically from a pitch outside or a throw, you know, to a back in the flat, something like that. And, you know, God knows, I think they would have opportunities if they can get some of those quarterbacks who have speed or elusiveness outside the pocket and let them, you know, hit a slot back, releasing off one of those arc blocks.
You know, when we were talking to him, one of my favorite parts of that conversation was about how, you know, when Army's has a second down, your goal is not to get a first down. Your goal is to get to a spot on third down where you can get to a spot on fourth down where you can go for it on fourth down, right? But, you know, one of the greatest parts about watching the option is where you do this every play and every play and every play, and you keep taking those 2 to 4 yards so that you can get yourself into a position on fourth down where you can go for it and make it. And it's fun to watch defenses try to prepare for that. But then you just see a throw out to the slot back and a pick up of 25 yards, and you just kind of have to laugh. It's one of my absolutely favorite parts about watching. But again, you know, Coach Drinkall, if you happen to be listening to this, thank you for coming on. We'd love to have you on again. And it was such an enlightening conversation. Do we have any other summer camp news? We saw, as we talked about the slot backs, I think that's about it. The scrimmage was the big news for the week. And, you know, we have a couple weeks left, not even a couple weeks left. And we'll see him down in Atlanta. So I guess it's just pump up time.
Yeah, think about it this way. This coming weekend is the last weekend for a good long time with no college football. So all you got to do is survive for about another 9 days and you'll be good to go.
We're going to have to make our next podcast, the final preview podcast with the last four games. We're going to have to make that a super hyped up podcast because I need to get very, very excited.
Well, I'm sure that can happen.
I'm sure it can too. So that's enough for summer camp news. Moving into the next section, we have some updated preseason S&P Plus rankings. They come from Bill Connolly over at ESPN. ESPN sort of has two sets of computer rankings for those who don't know. One of them is the Football Power Index, and one of them is Bill Connolly's S&P Plus. They sort of have their own strengths and weaknesses. The S&P Plus, for better or for worse, is sort of seen as the gold standard. And so we have some updates. Army is now ranked marginally worse than they were in the way too early preseason rankings. They're now 87th. I think that they were like a 1 point per game. They went from half a point per game below the mean to a point and a half a game per game below the mean, which didn't end up meaning a whole lot. Some other rankings of note on Army's schedule: Georgia State is now 79th compared to Army at 87, at 107, UConn at 127, Miami of Ohio 101, Ball State 86, Wisconsin 6, Wake Forest at 74, Air Force at 95, UMass 129, Liberty at 54, and Navy at 112. Dan, are these rankings important to you?
Well, I mean, it's what passes for data in the preseason, but no, is it important that the Army went from negative 0.5 to negative 1.5 on some computer ranking. You know, that's 1 point per game on a line that you would bet. And if you're saying Army is plus three against a team or minus three, meaning they're either favored by a field goal or a field goal underdog, you would still say that that game is, you know, anybody can essentially win that game. You know, that line is pretty close. So if you go from negative three to positive three on the S&P plus rankings, that probably captures half of college football, maybe just less than half. It's interesting that they ranked all these teams, but I don't know that it's necessarily worth a lot to sit there and get wrapped around the axle at, oh, Army's 87th instead of 71st or whatever. Like, who cares?
Right. Absolutely. And you and I had a conversation about this off air, but I guess we'll talk through it again for all of our listeners out there. You know, S&P Plus, as I said, for better or for worse, is sort of seen as the gold standard. It measures and values explosiveness quite a bit in college football, whereas the Football Power Index measures things like game control and really it's an efficiency rating. It's how efficient is your offense at scoring points and how efficient is your defense at preventing points. And then they do the same with special teams, which service academies tend to do a bit better in because they, while they are not very explosive, tend to be very efficient. They just don't score a lot of points by being efficient. So it is a computer ranking. Bill Connolly on Twitter has said several times that he knows that his rankings don't capture very well triple option teams, specifically service academies. But, you know, for better or for worse, it's sort of seen as the gold standard on ESPN, and they are where they are. It doesn't mean a whole lot in terms of, you know, national attention or anything like that, but it is a good way to look preseason at where Army shakes up in the mix. And as Dan pointed out, the middle 50 percentile is within a score of each other on a betting line. So Army's in that mix. And if they can make some things happen and win the fourth quarter, they're going to do well and they're going to win games that they can win.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I think is interesting to point out is that the FPI, the Football Power Index, has as its goal to predict the, you know, the college football playoff rankings at the end of the year. And it's very good at doing that, but inherent in doing it that way is like a strong Power Five bias and a negative bias towards the Group of Five and especially select conferences in the Group of Five. So I find it a little interesting that, for example, SP Plus has Ball State ranked lower than Georgia State. I would definitely have thought Ball State was a better team than Georgia State, but you know,
yeah, and Cincinnati 19. I mean, it's obvious that as you said, it is a yeah, playoff predictor.
Yeah. So
where
go ahead.
Whereas, you know, the FPI, the Football Power Index, is not, well, was created. That formula was created before the playoff existed, and it really is just an efficiency rating. The FPI doesn't have as good of preseason inputs, but as the season goes on, I think that'll be a lot more relevant to Army fans.
I also think it's worth noting that if you just look at what the SP Plus numbers are telling you about Army, they're saying, hey, Army has a good defense, which we know. Army needs to be more explosive this year on offense than they were on last year, which we also know. And Army's not going to win any games based solely on their mighty recruiting advantages, which we also know. So, you know, whatever else you want to say about it, that's not a hot take. Like, we know that Army's defense is good. We know that they need to find a way to get more explosive on offense. If I'm reading the results of this scrimmage right, you know, the Army team and the coaching staff knows this as well. So, you know, I think we're at least moving in the right direction based on the data that we have.
Absolutely. And certainly better than 2 years ago. And the question becomes, was last year a little bit fluky with the schedule, and or did we actually take the year to improve? And this is, you know, not reassuring, but certainly means that in the eyes of national media, they think that Army wasn't a joke last year, despite the weaker schedule due to COVID.
Well, think about it like this, right? Army had a good season and they played half the season with a converted slot back, moved to quarterback, who missed most of the preseason because of an injury. So just getting that guy in there to take snaps as a quarterback all over the course of the spring and then the summer, that is huge. So I am not surprised that the offense suddenly looks better when suddenly the leaders of the offense have had a chance to work together through a full offseason. Like, that does not surprise me even a little.
Right. And as you mentioned on the last podcast, I think one of the most threatening parts of this offense is the fact that you don't know who's starting the next football game at quarterback. I mean, there are six guys that can legitimately start.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I have a sense that once we get an idea of who the starter is, as long as that dude is not hurt, he's going to stay in there. But who knows? That's not guaranteed. And Coach Munkin has definitely said they're going to play more than one guy.
Or at least alluded that he will. Whether or not he actually will, we'll see.
Yeah,
might be some tactics from the Army head coach. All right. Well, anything else on SN Plus that you got for us, Dan?
No, I think we've beat it to death. Only that I think people think that I hate it more than I do hate it. It's interesting. It's data. It's just, you know, it's a flawed metric. So what? It's a metric.
Right. Right. It is a metric, and it's obviously more flawed now than it will be in week one, week two, and so on and so forth. The more data we get, the better the model will predict. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll stay tuned throughout the season and keep you updated. This week, we're going to skip good, bad, and ugly because really all that happened was that scrimmage, and we talked about it. And we're not going to recap Factor Fiction yet because most of that has to do with the start of the season. So we'll revisit that after week one. And we'll get straight into our season previews for Army's fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth game. So if you missed our first four games, go back and listen to that podcast, our last Army football podcast. It'll take you through the first third of the season, games one through four. But if you have listened to that and you're ready to listen to games five through eight, Dan, can you take us away with the Ball State Cardinals?
Yeah, man. Ball State. They are a good team. They had a good season last year. I got to say, too, before we get started, everybody on the team, you know, me, Jordan, Rob, James, we all got assigned teams to follow for our weekly scouting report, which we put out to our patrons at the Cal level and above. And so the teams that we're previewing here are our teams for this season. So I will, for example, be the scout for Ball State this season. So that means that when we get to, for example, Wisconsin, that's Jordan's team. And obviously Jordan's not on the podcast. So those guys have done that research, and this is going to be interesting, but bear with me and James as we sort of work through this. So anyway, Ball State. Last year, the Ball State Cardinals had a 7-1 record, 5-1 in the MAC West. They lost their season opener to Miami of Ohio. After that, though, they ran the table, beating a very, very good Buffalo team that I personally thought was a shoe-in to win the MAC championship by a score of 38-28. And then they beat number 22 San Jose State 34-13 in the Arizona Bowl. Very, very strong finish with an exclamation point by the Ball State Cardinals. They have a lot of starters coming back, especially on offense, notably quarterback Drew Plitt. He went 164 for 250 passing last season for 2,154 yards. That is almost 66%, which is outstanding. I mean, outstanding for a college quarterback. 17 touchdowns against just six interceptions. But this dude took 28 sacks in just eight games. That is not good. That is amazing. He got sacked for damn near 200 yards in eight games. Running back Caleb Huntley returns. He averaged 5.5 yards a carry last year with six touchdowns. They have a bunch of talented wide receivers scoring 17 passing touchdowns. I would definitely argue that this is a pass-first team, at least based on these statistics. And finally, let's talk a little bit about linebacker Anthony Ekpe. Five sacks for a defense that earned a total of 17 on the season and 10 interceptions. These guys are good. Preseason projections have Ball State ranked about where Army is ranked, which I find a little surprising. I think that that's more lack of respect for the MAC than it is lack of respect for Ball State. But they, you know, projected FPI has them 81st at a negative 3.2, meaning they'd be about a field goal underdog to a, quote, average football team. ESPN projects them to have a record of 7-5. I personally would take the over if I was betting on a betting line of under over seven. And again, power ranking suggests that this ought to be a pick 'em for Army, although we're on the road and it's going to be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say a few different things. Number one, after the Georgia State game, this is the sneakiest game of the season to me. You know, Liberty was ranked last year. You know they're going to be good, right?
Yeah.
Wake Forest, power team. You know they're going to be good. Wisconsin, top 10 teams, top 15 team by a lot of metrics. You know they're going to be good. Georgia State, I think, is the sneakiest game on the schedule, but not far behind is Ball State. A few reasons for that. Number one, the fifth year of eligibility that the NCAA granted for the COVID. You already talked about two of their players or three of their players that are coming back that are super seniors, but those aren't the only two. There are a lot of fifth year seniors coming back for the Ball State Cardinals this year. And that is not going to be a fun day for the Army defense when they're playing at Ball State in Muncie, Indiana. So this is going to have to be a game where the Army secondary is on lockdown. And those linebackers really need to penetrate that offensive line. Put pressure on Drupal.
I get the sense that as long as Army can sort of slow down that offense and control the clock, that they have a good chance. But man, if Army's offense starts out slow, this could be a long day.
This could be the Tulane game of last year if it doesn't. If Army secondary on lock, And I'll say that to scare people, because I think that this is a good litmus test game, right? If this is a game that Army dominates in Muncie, which I don't think is necessarily likely, but if that's what happens, there's no reason to think Army can't be a 10 or 11 win team this year. If this is a game that they win by a little bit or lose by a little bit, you know, eight or nine win team this year. If this is a game that they just get blown out, now we're like, all right, let's make a bowl. This is a great litmus test game. It's a good, you know, it's for the 4-4-4 scheduling. It's probably the last in the top four. Maybe it's the top in the middle four, but it is a good litmus test game. It's not going to be an easy game. And we're going to see how Jeff Monken does in Muncie.
Yeah, just to recap, the 4-4-4 schedule is you schedule four games that you think you can win, you schedule four games that are about a push, and you schedule four games that are going to be a real challenge. And this is the first year that we've really seen Army go with that in quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And it's a fun way to schedule for the fans, because it allows you, you know, hey, we're going to go into Wisconsin. And it's not like you have a bunch of gimme games. There's a couple. But not a bunch, and Ball State certainly is not a gimme game. So we'll see what happens in Muncie. I'm excited for it. And it's going to be a real test, for the Army secondary. Anything else on Ball State you got for us, Dan?
No, man. Tell us about Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. All right. So we've talked about it. This is the game, probably the most anticipated game of the year outside of the CIC games. We talked about it on the Army football show. We've talked about it on the College Football Roundtable show. The one thing that Jeff Monken has not done is a big, big Power Five win. He's gotten Power Five wins, but he's taken Oklahoma, a top 10 Oklahoma and a top 10 Michigan, into overtime and double overtime respectively on the road. And I bet you he wants this game more than anything but the CIC this year. So highly anticipated game. Wisconsin, you know, if you were to tell me pick a team in the top that you want, a Power Five team in the top 15 you want Army to play this year that you think they can knock off, Wisconsin might be that team. They really might. Last year they went 4-3. They were 3-3 in the Big Ten West. They were kind of a disappointment in the Big Ten West. They were the presumed champions from the beginning of the season. That didn't happen at all. They did suffer some COVID issues, so that is part of it. But a lot of their games got straight up canceled. So it wasn't even like they lost games because they didn't have players. That did happen on one occasion, but it wasn't that they lost all three of their games because they were short-staffed. They had a rather disappointing season. They beat Michigan, who wasn't good last year. They beat Minnesota, who wasn't good last year. They beat Wake Forest in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. That was probably the most impressive win of their season, and it was a close win. They have a very good run defense, which is the scariest thing to Army. They allowed 3.4 yards per carry last year and under 100 yards per game at 96.1. So Army's got to figure out a way to make the perimeter effective against Wisconsin. They can't just gun it up the middle. Wisconsin has a big boy defense. That's going to be goal number one earlier in the game. Early in this game is Army establishing a presence on the perimeter, on the ground, out on the perimeter. Their offense last year was less than stellar. Quarterback Graham Mertz was supposed to be a phenom, true freshman quarterback. He came in and he struggled a lot. Wisconsin had issues holding onto the football, and they had issues with penalties. They lost in their games. They lost the turnover battle by 6. Remember, they only played 7 games last year. They gave up 9 turnovers, and they had 19 or 20 penalties for way too many yards last year. They lost both the turnover and penalty margin by a lot. And sloppy Wisconsin football will put Army right into this football game. So Army needs to establish the perimeter, and they need to be clean, especially on offense, and not give Wisconsin gimme first downs with penalties on defense. Their projected S&P rank is 6th for this year. They're plus 22.4, so they'd be a 3-touchdown favorite on the average FBS team. They are projected at an 8-4 overall record, excuse me, and that's likely because of the strength of their schedule, not because they're a particularly bad team. They're ranked at 6th overall, so 8-4 is a testament to their schedule, not the poor nature of Wisconsin. And things to look for, as I said, can Army run? Is Army's offense going to send the ball up the middle 4 times and get stopped for, you know, a 4th-and-4 on the first drive, or are they going to get creative and work to the perimeter? Dan, do you have anything you're looking for in this game?
Yeah, well, we said Mertz struggled last year. He was a 61% passer. Army can usually make something with that if they can stop Wisconsin's power running game. And when I was looking at the stats, I wasn't overwhelmed by anybody on the team. It's just kind of like a good team effort. So the scary thing to me is just that these guys are disciplined on defense and that they allow less than 100 yards a game. It sort of reminds me of either the West Virginia games last year, where, you know, we saw Army do some good things at times, but they really struggled to keep the ball moving. And if we see that again, they're going to get beat. But on the other hand, you know, we've just seen over the past couple of years these unbelievable next level athletes from Michigan and Ohio State and Oklahoma, and Army's been able to hang in there with them. You know, with Wisconsin, they've got tight end Jake Ferguson, who had 30 catches for 304 yards and 4 touchdowns. Other than that, I don't think they've got much of a red zone receiving threat. So on defense, the Army defense, you would think, should be able to, you know, hang in this game. It's just a question of, can Army move the ball?
Absolutely. And keep an eye out. As I said, this is, I think, high on Jeff Munkin's bucket list. I would not be surprised if Jeff Munkin had a special set of trick plays set up for this Wisconsin game. Special teams, maybe a 4th-and-3 call where they go over the top. I don't know, but don't go to the bathroom unless it's a commercial.
Don't poop your pants while you're watching this game, friends.
Don't do that either. Be a man and hold it. But I would not be surprised if Jeff Munkin has a special section of the playbook set aside for this game.
Yeah. You know, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. It's a shame. The biggest shame of that bowl game was that they didn't recover that stupid onside kick, because if they'd recovered that onside kick, I think they could have won that game. And these teams just remind me, it kind of reminds me of that on its face. And I don't know, maybe Wisconsin's a way better team than that, but
I was at that bowl game, and what annoyed me the most was attempting that field goal. There was no reason to do it. They say they follow the analytics all year. There's no way that the analytics told them to kick that field goal, because it makes absolutely zero sense. So I would have gone for it on 4th and 4. But who knows? I'm not Jeff Munkin, and that's a very, very good thing. You want to take us to Wake Forest?
So Wake Forest last year had a record of 4-5 in 2020. They went into the bowl game, as we said, at 500, but lost to Wisconsin. However, they beat both Virginia Tech and Virginia. I don't know how good Virginia was, but that was a decent Virginia Tech team last year. They also played number 13 North Carolina tough last season. Although I don't know if we count moral victories. I definitely don't think that I would if I was in Wake Forest shoes. They are ranked 74th in S&P Plus this year. They're about a point and a half better than Army. A generous projection has them going 7-5. They got a decent chance of finishing at 500 or maybe under 500. ESPN, as of right now, as of this recording, gives them a 61.5% chance to win this game. I personally think Army's going to win this game, especially since it's at Mikey Stadium. Not that it's going to be easy, but I just think this team is not a lot better than Army, and Army plays very well at home. You know, one thing to watch in this game is quarterback Sam Hartman. He went 159 of 273 passing last year for 2,224 yards. But that's only about a 58% completion percentage. He threw 13 TDs against 5 interceptions. That's good, but he was sacked 24 times. That's like erratic play from the quarterback position at the Power 5. So, you know, I don't know what to make from that. I think if Army can move the ball on these guys, that they got a decent chance of stopping that offense. You know, Wake Forest has been kind of all over the place the past few years, especially on offense. So we'll see. James?
Yeah, I will say, you know, the ACC is not an easy conference to play in for a team like Wake Forest. I think that the Wake Forest team that we see now is going to be very different than the team we'll see, you know, come the Army game. I follow ACC football quite a bit because I have family that's gone to UVA. Players get hurt all the time. And you'll see surprises in teams. You'll see good teams with 4-8 records, and you'll see bad teams with 8-4 records. So we'll know a lot more about this game when it comes time. This is one of the, I think, outside of Air Force, the biggest question mark team to me. There's just so much that can happen between here and now, and that's exacerbated by the fact that they play in the ACC.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. All right, James, man, why don't you close this out with Air Force? Oh, go ahead.
So there are two sets of Army opponents this year that played each other in bowl games last year, and they both happened back-to-back, Week 1 and Week 2, and then Wisconsin and Wake Forest. So Georgia State and Miami. Was it Miami's Week 2?
No, Week 3.
No, Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky is Week 2.
Okay.
Georgia State and Western Kentucky that played, not Miami.
Played in the bowl, correct. The Lending Tree Bowl. So Army's Week 1 and Week 2 opponents played in a bowl together, and then Week 6 and Week 7 opponents played in a bowl together last year. Interesting tidbit, I guess. But moving on to Air Force. So Air Force is, as I said, the biggest question mark this year. We all know the stories of Air Force sending their cadets home on administrative leave during COVID, effectively redshirting them. A lot of it is rumors. I mean, we know that this happened, but who these players are rumors. The prevailing rumor is that most of these players are defensive players, but we sort of don't know. Obviously, Air Force, with the Mountain West canceling football, thought that their season was canceled. They sent a bunch of cadets home, and then they ended up playing 6 games. So I think that you can chalk Air Force's defense up to a big fat question mark. I think we have no idea. Although that being said, Army scored 10 points against Air Force last year and won the game. So if Air Force has a stellar defense, we still might be able to win the game. But defense aside, Air Force went 3-3 last year. They pretty much had a vanilla season. They beat the teams that they were supposed to beat by a lot of points. They lost to the teams that they were supposed to lose to by a lot of points. And then Army beat them 10-7. Their opener was against Navy. It was their first game of the season, and Navy was 4 or 5 games in at that point. And they blew Navy out of the water 40-7. Other than that, they lost to San Jose State and Boise, like you'd expect with how good those teams were last year. They beat Utah State and New Mexico. And then they lost to Army to end their season. Not a whole lot of surprises in their season. The only thing that I will say Air Force-wise is that everyone is expecting them to do poorly this year because of how they performed and their sort of vanilla 500 record last year. The problem with that is their schedule is sort of ridiculously easy this year. I know I've talked about this in terms of betting lines because we talk about that on our Army football show. But when it comes to how that affects Army, Air Force doesn't have a lot of hard games this year. The only silver lining is that before they play Army, they play San Diego State, but they have a bye week after that. So, you know, we're talking about a schedule where they should win every single game up to San Diego State. They could win the San Diego State game, and you could have a really jacked up Air Force team who's high on everything and is either undefeated or one loss going into the Army game. That scares me a little bit. I don't know. I guess they have to play Boise State, but you know, it scares me that they could be really high on their season. Army might have a loss or two at that point coming off of Wisconsin and Wake Forest and Ball State, the hardest three games of their schedule. We both have a bye week there. It just sort of doesn't, the scheduling scares me a little bit. Now, that being said, last year, their offense, while very effective, made a lot of mistakes. We saw that in the Army game. But we don't know who's going to be starting quarterback this year at Air Force. I don't know if you have any thoughts to end on what you saw during the game last year. But as I said, the biggest question mark of this year, we don't know who's starting at any of the major skill positions on offense. We have absolutely no idea on defense.
I thought that the biggest problem Air Force had last year, despite all their players redshirting on defense or whatever, was that their offense was just all over the place. You know, they lost their starting quarterback, so then they had to replace him with Hazeek Daniels. I thought Hazeek Daniels played okay, but it wasn't like the offense found any rhythm. You know, they had explosive players and they got explosive plays, but they weren't consistent. And that's totally what you saw in the Army game. Like, yeah, they're moving the ball. And then for whatever reason, they decide to throw downfield and, you know, launch one to the defense. And they did that 3 times, and that's why they lost. So, yeah.
Times that Daniels absolutely shined was during the San Jose the San Jose State game, I believe, and particularly the Boise State game. He scored a lot of points. They scored 30 points versus Boise State. I guess he didn't shine in the San Jose State game. Their defense shined, but he scored 30 points against Boise State, which is absolutely unreal. I mean, that is unheard of for an Air Force quarterback, especially one who's taking over that year from a starter who they lost, right?
The problem is Boise State just ran them over.
Correct. Correct. Air Force's defense, as we know, was half on vacation. But the fact that Hazeek Daniels can throw 30 points on Boise State means that there's something to him. Now, as you mentioned, wildly inconsistent throughout the year. That was the issue. He had sparks of real talent that shone through, but as you said, inconsistency was the name of the game for Air Force's offense last year. It's why you saw them score only 7 points against Army and have multiple three turnovers against Army.
Well, I don't think it did them any favors to play Navy early in the season like they did, and then, you know, run over Navy, and it kind of gave everybody a false sense of security. I mean, nobody understood how bad that Navy team was until they had their little break in the middle of the season and managed to reconstitute their defense. Up until that point, you know, that Navy defense was garbage. I mean, they were terrible. And to their credit, they really turned it around after that break, but holy crap. So then you look at that and it's like, oh my God, this Air Force team is great. And, you know, it was a weird year. I take it for what it is. I think this is going to be a close game. Honestly, the biggest thing to watch for me is that they, for whatever reason, decided to play it in Texas. That was dumb. Like, they have a strong home field advantage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A couple of things with that. So first of all, Navy, remember, started 3-0 in the American last year, despite their big loss to BYU on, Sunday night, because it was before the NFL started.
And if they this had is to an have argument Bill Belichick, that they weren't that bad, yes, they were. But anyway, go ahead.
No. But I guess my point was, like, nobody realized how bad Navy was until after that three-game spurt in the American, where they just started losing everything.
Yeah.
But you're right. They were that bad, especially earlier in the year, and they had some close losses later, but never fully recovered. And I'm not convinced that Air Force has. You're saying Air Force has the home field advantage in Dallas?
No, definitely not. I'm saying they gave away the home field advantage. Yeah. And, you know, typically they like to play at home as much as they can because, you know, they've got the 7,000-foot hypoxia sign there, and it's just a whole deal. Like, that's a strong home field advantage.
Two things with that. You're right. I believe that Air Force's home field advantage is a lot stronger than Army's, and at least when those two teams play. And so that helps Army that they're going to be playing in Dallas for 2 years. Second thing is that when we had the interview with Mike Buddy, he was saying Air Force was struggling selling tickets. So I expect that unless something big has happened, I expect that Army will have a majority of the fans in Dallas.
I think so too. That's my expectation as well.
So, and we will both be there. And as we've mentioned before, if you join the Firstie Club and you live in the Dallas area, we'll be having fun at that game. We would love to meet you guys and hand you your mugs, your Firstie Club mugs personally. So if that's something you're interested in, go ahead and go to asforfootball.com, check out the Firstie Club on Patreon, and we'd love to have you be a part of the group.
Yeah, and while we're mentioning it, we talked about this a little bit on the College Football Roundtable podcast, and we put it out on the internet, but in case you haven't seen, we do have exclusive, Firstie Club exclusive tailgating mugs. They are cool. They are awesome. James designed and ordered them. And we are going to hand them in person to as many of our firsties as we possibly can at all of these games. If you're going to be at these games and you want a mug, $7 in the Firstie Club, join the conversation. We'll hand you a mug. You helped us, help us, help you, help us. That's what we're trying to say here, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to be, someone from the podcast is going to be at least 8 of the games this year. Is that right? So
We got the six home games, Army, right. Air Force, and Georgia State. I don't think we've got anybody at Liberty. I don't think we've got anybody at Wisconsin. I don't think we got anybody at Ball State. So,
okay. So you have 9 chances to come and have fun and drink a beer in your Firstie Club tailgating mug with us. So go check it out. And if you have any questions, you can send us a message, leave a note on the website, any of the articles, and we'd love to get into contact with you. Do we have anything else for today, Dan? You have a favorite thing?
I have a fact or fiction. I know we weren't going to do this because it's kind of a weird, weird episode, but...
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
You said that you weren't sure who was going to be the quarterback for Air Force. So, fact or fiction, Hazeek Daniels will be the Air Force quarterback this season, at least through the Navy game, which is week 2.
So the fact or fiction is Ezekiel Daniels starts against Navy.
Yes.
I'll go with fact. I think that while we are more confident that Ezekiel Daniels will start versus Navy than we are that any of the Army quarterbacks will start against Georgia State, there is still a significant chance he doesn't. But if I had to guess, I'd say Ezekiel Daniels.
Yeah, who else would they start? I haven't read anything about any other Air Force quarterbacks. Not that I'm following it.
I read some things. What was it? The Colorado Springs Gazette was saying they, and this is totally not my research. This is completely what I've seen from the local beat writers. But they were saying that people were that the rooms were unhappy with the inconsistency last year. And they thought that even though there were some less skilled quarterbacks, they might provide more consistency and were better throwers and could, because that was Ezekiel Daniels' problem. Anytime Air Force wanted to throw, they threw interceptions. So there were some more, quote, well-rounded threats in the quarterback room.
Oh, man, Troy Daniels. What is his last name? I can't. Troy Calhoun, please, for the love of God, bench Ezekiel Daniels and let's go on a mission to find a new Air Force quarterback. That is what I want for Christmas.
Well, I'd love to see that take all season long.
Yeah, let's that's go ahead.
I'd like to see that last at least until November 6th.
Yeah, man, we need to go on a fact-finding mission to find out who the best quarterback in the Air Force room is by letting every single one of them start for exactly two quarters.
I have, yeah, absolutely. I have a favorite thing for you if you want.
All right, yeah, go for it. Favorite thing of the week.
So, as we know, Navy and Air Force have moved their game to September 11th, so we'll know a little bit earlier this year the winner of the first CIC game. So they'll be playing September 11th. Air Force has not announced any alternate uniforms that I know of. Navy, however, has announced or released their alternate uniforms for that game. Whoever is in charge of Navy alternates at Under Armour needs to get fired. I mean, it's so bad. It is a Marine Class A uniform, but in a football jersey. There is nothing like it. If you took a Marine Class A uniform and you stuck it on a football player, it looks like it. There's nothing special. Like it would be as if you took the new Army greens, right? And you took every aspect of it and stuck it onto an Army jersey and then put the players on the field. Nothing about it screams football other than the fact that there's two numbers and a helmet. It doesn't look good. The Navy has had Marine uniforms in the past that they've worn to the Army-Navy game that I've quite liked with red piping and things like that. This is bad. And I've talked to many Marines who also say it's bad. Because if you know any Marines, the first thing they'll tell you is that uniform better look exactly like every other uniform. And now you're going to throw it and put it on a football jersey. I think it looks horrible. I know a lot of people that do on both sides of the aisle here. They need to figure their stuff out when it comes to alternate uniforms.
So let me just say, I appreciated what they were trying to do. I thought that going with the dress blues uniform as a callback was a good idea. It's just some of the choices were so weird. You know, those dress blue uniforms are black, but they didn't go with black jerseys over the blue pants. So the only thing in the entire uniform that comes off on theme is the pants with the red piping. And I was like, okay, I get where they got this, but you know, what is the rest of this?
I don't hate the pants at all. I think the pants are actually part of the uniform. The pants work. And what I'd like to see is the pants and the same color. They do this weird, like dual tone coloring on all their alternate uniforms. They did it with the Heisman Trophy uniform with a different color, gold and yellow on the helmet and the numbers.
That was weird.
They did it on the Blue Angel uniforms with a different color blue on the helmet. And
that was weird too.
It's just like pick a color and stick to it. It's not hard. It doesn't look aesthetically pleasing when you take two different blue and put them next to each other.
I thought they could have gotten away with black jerseys with gold numbering because they got the gold buttons on the uniform with the white helmets. But then you got to put the Eagle Globe and Anchor on the front because that's where it is on the caps. And then, you know, then the callback is at least obvious, right? I will say that I give them credit for at least, you know, shouting out the Marines on September 11th instead of a goat or a demonstration unit or something like that.
So I guess I'll play devil's advocate here. I get them calling out, you know, war fighters on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And that's a great thing for them to do that they haven't done with alternate uniforms in the past.
Yeah.
What I don't get is why they're calling out Marines on the 20th anniversary. Like, the Navy has done nothing for the last, you know, 20 years in war fighting. Like they haven't done anything. Like, there haven't been ships in the Middle East in the last 20 years. Like, if you're going to do a 9/11 appreciation jersey, cool, but then make it relevant to the Navy and Marine Corps team, I guess. I don't know.
That's a nitpick to me. They picked a unit and they called it out. That was all right.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess it's clearly for 9/11 though, and that's why it sort of was strange to me. But hey, at least that's an improvement in their alternate uniform designing. Because Bill the Goat and a 1960s leather helmet hasn't been the best theming.
Calling out the marble countertops in the crypt there. I mean,
right.
You know, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Marble countertops? Really? This is what we're doing? All right. What are you going to do? All right. Friends, support our show. Join us on Patreon. Be part of the conversation. You can shout us back. You will get early access to these shows. You will help us fund our operations here, which we desperately need. And also visit our sponsors, visit Emblem Athletic, get your custom sporting goods needs, custom t-shirts for your unit, for your team, for your football team, for your kids' soccer team. We don't care, but help us out, help out our sponsors. And thanks a lot for showing up this week.
Beat Georgia State.
Beat them.
As for Football would like to thank you for your continued support of the Army Football Podcast, As for Football and Army Athletics. You can find us across all platforms of social media at As for Football. And as always, we would like to thank our sponsor, Emblem Athletic. Emblem Athletic is the source for all your custom sporting good needs. Be a gear hero for your unit today. Visit emblemathletic.com. Join the As for Football team for our next episode, coming soon to a podcast platform near you.